Hello, and welcome to our program. My name is Alan Lai, and I will be reading from the Sporting News here on Sight into Sound Radio. With Major League Baseball's regular season over and the postseason beginning, I'm going to start off today with a few stories about teams that did not make the playoffs. First, in a story by Glenn Kaplan, is Houston Astros GM Dana Brown returning in 2026? The Houston Astros missed the playoffs in 2025 for the first time since the 2016 season. With the Astros missing the playoffs, there are questions about what this team is going to do in the offseason. Is Houston a team that can potentially make one more run in 2026, or are they going to have to potentially start a rebuild with the championship window closed? The biggest question for this organization will be, is will they bring back general manager Dana Brown? His contract contains a club option for the 2026 MLB season. With his contract containing a club option, his club option has yet to be picked up for the 2026 MLB season, according to USA Today. Brown did not want to talk about his current contract status with the Astros, but believes that he is going to be with the team for the long haul. Brown said, "I don't want to talk about my contract right now, but I will tell you that I am the GM of the Astros." He also added, "As I said, I'm the GM of the Astros, and that's what I would expect to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day." If this team plans on bringing him back for the 2026 MLB season, then Brown will need to make the proper adjustments for this team to be a World Series contender. If they don't bring him back, then there is a chance that this franchise is potentially going to head in a different direction. One of the main reasons why they missed the playoffs was because of Yordan Alvarez's ankle injury he suffered with around 2 weeks remaining in the regular season. There are a lot of questions that will need to be answered this offseason, including if Brown's option is going to be picked up or not for the 2026 season. TJ French has a story headlined, "Rockies Make Major Decision on GM Bill Schmidt Ahead of Offseason." The Colorado Rockies are fresh off one of the worst seasons in MLB history, finishing with 119 losses and 43 wins. Colorado finished the season with an abysmal 18-63 on the road and one of the worst run differentials ever in the sport at -424. With such a bad season, usually comes wholesale changes to either the front office or roster construction. On Wednesday, there was a major announcement in the Rockies organization regarding the team's GM, Bill Schmidt. The Rockies announced Wednesday that GM Bill Schmidt will be stepping down from his role in the organization, and there is an external search going on immediately. Colorado is now in need of a new head of baseball operations. Schmidt had either been the head of scouting or served as GM for nearly 26 years, and he helped draft and develop some of the best players in franchise history, like Nolan Arenado and Troy Tulowitzki. Schmidt helped the team to a miraculous 2007 World Series run, and then fielded a few more playoff teams since. However, with such a putrid 2025 season, he decided it's in the best interest of the Rockies if he were to step down. "After a number of conversations, we decided it is time for me to step aside and make way for a new voice to guide the club's baseball operations," Schmidt said within this morning's press release. "It's been an honor to serve the Rockies family for over 25 years." Sporting News will continue to follow this story as more search details emerge. Rodney Nupple has a story about the Braves' Brian Snitker. The end of an era, a baseball lifer walks away from the dugout. For almost 50 years, he wore the same uniform. He started out in the minors, worked his way up as a coach, and eventually became the manager who delivered a championship. He was never about the spotlight, but he represented everything people love about the game: loyalty, patience, and sticking to the grind. That man was Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves. This week, his run came to a close. After 9 years managing in the majors and decades in the same organization, he announced he won't be back in the dugout. Instead, he'll take on an advisory role, staying connected to the team but in a different way. The timing made sense. His contract was up just as the team missed the playoffs for the first time in years. At 69, he admitted he wasn't sure if he wanted to go through another long season. The day-to-day grind was catching up with him, even if his love for the game never did. Baseball owes a lot to men like this. He wasn't a star player, and he didn't chase headlines. He spent nearly five decades shaping players, leading with a steady hand, and proving that success comes from trust and consistency. Today's game is full of younger managers and analytics, but his style can't be measured on a stat sheet. He was a link between generations, someone who carried the game's old-school values right into the modern era, and now his story becomes part of baseball history. Hunter Cookston writes a story titled, Giants Predicted to Replace Bob Melvin with Four-Time World Series Champion, Future Hall of Famer. The San Francisco Giants had an up-and-down season with a promising roster, especially after adding Rafael Devers. However, success was not guaranteed. As the season ends, the Giants missed the postseason and no longer have their manager. After careful evaluation, we determined that making a change in leadership was in the best interest of the team, said Posey, the Giants' president of baseball operations. The last couple of months have been both disappointing and frustrating for all of us, and we did not perform up to our standards. We now turn our focus to identifying a new leader to guide us forward. A top candidate for the role has emerged since the job opened up. Former Giants manager Bruce Bochy, who won three World Series titles with the franchise. Bruce Bochy, manager of the Texas Rangers from 2023 to 2025, whose contract expired at the end of the 2025 season, won three World Series with the Giants while Posey was San Francisco's catcher, ESPN wrote. Bochy's name entered the conversation after the Rangers parted ways with him following three seasons, one of which ended with a World Series title. 3 years ago, Bochy came to the Rangers in pursuit of his fourth World Series championship, said Chris Young, president of baseball operations, via Zoom on Monday night. He brought instant credibility, wisdom, and legitimacy to a team looking to have emerged from a rebuild. It only took him one season to accomplish a goal that had eluded this organization for 52 years. While the last two seasons have fallen short of our goals, Bochy will forever be a legend in Texas Ranger history beyond his Hall of Fame pedigree as a manager. If Bochy is willing, the Giants would welcome him back in a heartbeat. Bochy is not only one of the Giants' best managers, but also one of the greatest in baseball history. Posey would be wise to bring him back to finish his career. The two sides may have a mutual interest as discussions continue. In another story by Hunter Cookston, Braves predicted to replace Brian Snitker with Rangers' top candidate, two-time World Series champ. The Atlanta Braves just wrapped up their worst season under manager Brian Snitker, and injuries played a major role. Combine that with a slow start from key players, and the season simply didn't go the way anyone had hoped. With the disappointing year, many expected Snitker wouldn't return as manager. Because of that consistent recent success, Snit would normally be afforded a mulligan year, even though going from the second-best preseason World Series odds to possibly the third-best odds of winning the draft lottery is a pretty serious mulligan, Bleacher Report's Kerry Miller wrote. At 69, though, he's already the oldest manager in the National League by a several-year margin and was likely to retire at the end of this season, which is the last one in his current contract. On Wednesday morning, it was reported that Snitker will not be returning as manager, ending an incredible run with the Braves. Brian Snitker will not return as manager of the Atlanta Braves, sources tell ESPN. He informed the team of his decision yesterday, but he will remain with the organization in a senior advisory capacity, ESPN's Jeff Passan posted. With the position now vacant, Atlanta becomes one of the most attractive managerial destinations in baseball, thanks to its strong roster and market appeal. Snitker led the Braves to the playoffs in seven straight seasons, leaving big shoes to fill, One potential candidate drawing interest is former Marlins manager Skip Schumaker. Skip Schumaker currently works as a senior advisor in the Rangers front office, won National League Manager of the Year with the Miami Marlins in 2023, ESPN wrote. Schumaker is highly regarded as a player's coach and would be a strong hire for the Braves. However, they may have competition as the Texas Rangers, who recently parted ways with Bruce Bochy, could also pursue him. Schumaker's stint with the Marlins ended on a sour note, but he's been patiently waiting for another opportunity. That next chance might lead him right back to the NL East. A story by Gilbert McGregor asks the question, will Yankees fire Aaron Boone? Why New York manager could be on hot seat with wild card exit in MLB playoffs. The New York Yankees' pursuit of a World Series title in 2025 is in jeopardy. After winning 94 games in the 2025 regular season, New York is a loss away from being eliminated by the Boston Red Sox in the wild card round of the playoffs. Disappointing as postseason exits are, one at the hands of a vaunted rival would be doubly disappointing, and fingers are being pointed at manager Aaron Boone. The 2025 season is Boone's eighth as New York's manager, and the questions around his job security have only gotten louder during the back half of his tenure. Boone didn't exactly help his case in Game 1 of the postseason, as many questioned his choice to pull starter Max Fried after 6 1/3 innings. The decision quickly backfired with the Red Sox taking the lead for good just minutes later. And while the Yankees' shortcomings in 2025 could be partly attributed to injuries or other external factors, the fan base's patience may be nearing its breaking point. Might the same be said about the front office? Here's what to know about Boone's job security with the season on the line. Boone entered the postseason with a relatively secure job, according to The Athletic's MLB insider Ken Rosenthal. Within his report, Rosenthal placed Boone under the "would take something calamitous" section of his story, outlining MLB teams that could make a managerial change. And while an early elimination by a rival could be considered calamitous, Rosenthal also cited the positive working relationship with Boone and Yankees GM Brian Cashman. Despite some postseason shortcomings, the Yankees have the third-best regular season winning percentage since Boone took over as manager in 2018, behind only the Los Angeles Dodgers and Houston Astros. That fact could be viewed as a negative, however, considering New York does not have a title to show for it, while Houston and L.A. do. Possibly helping Boone's case is the idea that health could provide more continuity in 2026. In addition to ace Gerrit Cole missing the entire 2025 season after undergoing Tommy John surgery, Giancarlo Stanton missed the first 70 games of the season, and Aaron Judge was hampered by nagging ailments. With multiple factors at play, Cashman may soon have to decide whether a wild card loss to Boston is enough to move in a new direction. In February, Boone signed a 2-year contract extension to remain with the Yankees through 2027. Since taking over in 2018, Boone has posted a regular season record of .697, a percentage of .584, and New York has qualified for the postseason in all but 1 year. In the postseason, however, success has not been as prevalent. Entering 2025, Boone's records by round are as follows: 0-1 in the AL wild card, 4-2 in the ALDS, 1-3 in the ALCS, and 0-1 in the World Series. Hunter Cookston writes, Red Sox's Masataka Yoshida makes perfectly timed MLB postseason history in debut versus Yankees. The Boston Red Sox made the MLB playoffs, and as a reward, they get to face their rival, the New York Yankees. The first game was a duel between some of the top lefties in the game. However, it was Garrett Crochet who got the last laugh. The 117th and final pitch of Garrett Crochet's night went 100.2 miles per hour tied for his fastest of the season. He finished with 11 strikeouts, didn't walk anyone, and exits with a 2-1 lead for the Red Sox. The first playoff start of Crochet's career was brilliant, ESPN's Jeff Pisan wrote. Another big name in the game was Masataka Yoshida, who came up with the go-ahead hit. After the game, he shared his thought process walking up to the plate. He kept throwing change-ups to Sogi, referring to Nick Sogard, Yoshida said through translator Yutaro Yamaguchi. So I was kind of thinking that he might throw something hard and kind of up and in. I just wanted to be aggressive from the first pitch, and I was able to do that. Yoshida was a huge offseason addition just a few years ago. The Red Sox completed a productive final day of the winter meetings by making international splash, according to the corner outfield bat they needed in Masataka Yoshida, MLB.com reported. However, Yoshida had yet to make the playoffs until Tuesday. In his first postseason game, he set MLB history when he put his team ahead. Masataka Yoshida of the Red Sox is the first player in MLB history to have a go-ahead hit with his team trailing on the first pitch he ever saw in his postseason career, Optostats posted. Yoshida's clutch hit could very well have earned him a spot in the lineup for Game 2 on Wednesday. The Red Sox just need one more win to knock off their rival. The clutch performance from Yoshida might be the moment in the series that sucked the life out of the Yankees. If that moment didn't do it, then the Yankees' failure to get a hit with the bases loaded in the ninth inning very well might have. Dan Tracy has a story titled Aaron Judge Career Postseason Stats Inside the Yankees Star's Struggles with Strikeouts on the Playoff Stage. Aaron Judge has two MVP awards to his name, but he has yet to achieve October immortality. The Yankee slugger came the closest he's ever been to a World Series title in 2024 before New York lost to the LA Dodgers in five games in the Fall Classic. It came after a season in which he led all of baseball in home runs, RBI, OPS, and WAR. Those results just haven't been there in the postseason at any point in Judge's career. While he's hit his share of home runs, Judge is still waiting for his October production to come close to what he's done in the regular season, and pressure is growing for that to change. Here's a closer look at Judge's postseason stats compared with his regular season marks. Judge has two MVP awards already, and in 2025, he has a chance to win his third. The superstar won the batting title in 2025 with a .331 batting average, and even after missing 10 games, he still hit over 50 home runs for the fourth time in his career. Judge was first in the MLB in batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, and OPS. For his career, here's what Aaron Judge averages over a 162-game season. .294 batting average, 52 home runs, 117 RBIs, 170 hits, a 1.028 OPS, 8.8 WAR. A 772 OPS is considered fine, particularly in the postseason with pitching so dominant, but it's nowhere near the standard Judge has set in the regular season. Judge has not had an OPS below this number in the regular season since his rookie season. Judge's 16 postseason home runs equal a 162 game of 44, so the power has largely been there in October for the former MVP, but he's barely hitting above 200 in his postseason career and has never had more than six hits in any postseason series. Some of Judge's worst postseason performances have come after his best seasons. He hit 191 in the 2017 postseason, including 050 in an ALDS win over Cleveland. In 2022, Judge hit 139 over nine games, including 063 without a home run in an ALCS sweep at the hands of the Astros. Judge did not have the most productive season in 2024, even after hitting a pair of home runs in the ALCS. He also hit a home run in Game 5 of the World Series versus the Dodgers, but the Yankees went on to lose that game 7-6. Judge has a career strikeout rate of 32.7% in the postseason. He has struck out in 87 of his 266 postseason plate appearances. Judge holds the record for the highest strikeout rate in MLB postseason history for players with at least 200 plate appearances. The 33-year-old has always had a penchant for strikeouts, even in his most dominant seasons, but his postseason strikeout rate is well above his career regular season rate of 27%. Judge has struggled in the postseason, but his power has been his best asset. With 16 home runs, Judge is fifth in Yankees postseason history. Here's the full list. Bernie Williams with 22, Derek Jeter with 20, Mickey Mantle with 18, Giancarlo Stanton with 16, Babe Ruth with 15, Aaron Judge, 16, Reggie Jackson, 12, Yogi Berra, 12, Jorge Posada, 11. The caveat, of course, is that the postseason has expanded over the years. The Yankees have 27 championships, but many of them came when the postseason was made up exclusively of the World Series. Three of Judge's postseason home runs have come in either a wild card game in 2017 and 2018, or a wild card series during the expanded 2020 postseason. Those opportunities just weren't there for most eras of Yankees history. In 2024, he had his first World Series home run in Game 5 against the Dodgers, but it wasn't enough for the Yankees, who lost the game 7-6. Consistently getting on base like he does during the regular season is what Judge has struggled the most with, but he has a chance at redemption come the 2025 postseason. Judge has not won a World Series. The Yankees haven't won a championship since 2009, and Judge debuted in 2016. 2024 was Judge's first ever World Series appearance. He had a batting average of .222 during the series, with four hits, one home run, and three RBIs. Judge also had a pivotal fielding error in Game 5, allowing the Dodgers to come back from 5-0 and win the title. The Yankees have come close to the World Series with Judge multiple times, but fell short. New York lost in the ALCS three times during his career, all to the Houston Astros. This included a 2017 series during which New York had two chances to close out Houston and head to the Fall Classic, but lost in seven games. Number 99 will be retired by the Yankees when all is said and done, but something will be missing if Judge doesn't help deliver a championship to the Bronx by the end of his terrific career. Here's a story by Douglas Santo titled, Red Sox Garrett Crochet Predicted Stellar Outing Against the Yankees, Then Delivered. The Boston Red Sox stole Game 1 of the American League Wild Card Series against the New York Yankees on Tuesday night, thanks to a fantastic outing by their ace, Garrett Crochet. Crochet has put together a spectacular 2025 season in his fifth year in the MLB, leading the AL with 205 and a third innings pitched, and the entire MLB with 255 strikeouts. On Tuesday night, he continued his dominance, and the crazier part is he told his manager it was going to happen the day before. The Yankees got on the board first with the solo home run in the second inning by shortstop Anthony Volpe. However, after that, Crochet completely shut down New York's bats. Crochet delivered 7 2/3 innings and gave up just that single run. The Red Sox ace gave up just four hits and struck out 11 batters. After the game, Red Sox manager Alex Cora told the media a story from yesterday where Crochet predicted exactly how Tuesday night's outing would go. He was in the dugout with me. I told him, we should call the bullpen. And he's like, tomorrow you're going to make one call to the bullpen, Cora said. I said, maybe two. He's like, no, one. It's going to be straight to Chappie. referring to Aroldis Chapman. I was like, okay, I'll take that. Crochet did exactly that. The Red Sox starter got a quick seventh inning and had thrown 100 pitches on the day, and Cora decided to send him back out onto the mound for the eighth. Crochet ended up throwing a career-high 117 pitches and got two outs in the eighth before Chapman came in to get the Red Sox through the ninth. Although Crochet admitted he didn't actually expect a pitch into the eighth, it's still a fun story, and he did deliver on the statement he made. Just being arrogant, to be honest, Crochet said with a smirk. I didn't actually expect that to be the case, but when he sent me back out there, I was determined to leave it that way. That's exactly what happened. Chapman got the final out of the eighth and then pitched a scoreless ninth to secure the Red Sox victory in Game 1. It didn't come without hiccups, as Chapman loaded the bases with no outs, but was able to dance his way out of it with two strikeouts, and now Boston is one win away from the ALDS. In a story by Billy Hyen, Red Sox closer Aroldis Chapman might have the most impossible arm in MLB history. Aroldis Chapman simply doesn't make sense. The arm action of throwing a baseball is unnatural. It's why pitchers, who usually are trying to throw at the highest intensity out of this unnatural motion, get injured so much. Very few humans have ever thrown a baseball with the ferocity of Chapman's left arm, and yet no major injuries. Chapman's left arm has carried him through 16 MLB seasons, and it brought him to closing out his former team, the New York Yankees, on Tuesday night in Yankee Stadium for the Boston Red Sox. Social media spent a bit of time marveling at it all afterward. Aroldis Chapman has been throwing triple-digit fastballs in MLB for 16 years. He has missed more games due to facial fractures and infected tattoos than arm injuries, one wrote one account on X. Chapman was a highly touted prospect when he arrived from Cuba in the Cincinnati Reds organization, and he's lived up to that. The 37-year-old has been mostly dominant in all but one or two of his big league seasons. This one may have been his best yet. Chapman put up a 1.17 ERA and had a stretch where he had set down more consecutive batters without a hit than would happen in a no-hitter for a starter. The strikeout pitch still works, too, with 85 and 61 and a third innings in the regular season. Somehow, Chapman's flamethrower has never turned off or even wavered. You are listening to Sports on Sight into Sound Radio. You can listen to Sight into Sound on HD4 on 88.7 KUHF, channel 8.5 on TV, streaming on your computer or smartphone, as well as your smart speaker. You can also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at sightintosound.org. We are Sight into Sound Radio since 1967. We're going to pick up with a story by Dan Tracy, how Aroldis Chapman escaped bases loaded, no-out jam to close out Red Sox playoff win versus Yankees. New York Yankees fans remember the Aroldis Chapman experience well. The flamethrower would routinely work himself into trouble during his days in pinstripes, often through walks, sometimes getting out of it, and other times unraveling. That version of Chapman has largely not been what the Boston Red Sox have gotten in 2025. The 37-year-old has arguably been baseball's most dominant reliever this season, posting an ERA barely above a run and putting together a six-week streak without allowing a hit during the summer. When the Chapman of old reared his head by loading the bases in the ninth inning of Game 1 on Tuesday, the veteran quickly morphed back into the dominant closer he was all season long. Here's a look at how Chapman escaped trouble to push the Yankees to the brink of elimination in Game 1 of the Wild Card Series. Chapman worked himself into a jam as soon as the ninth inning started in Game 1, but control issues weren't the issue this time. Instead, Chapman allowed three consecutive singles despite going well more than a month without even allowing a hit during the regular season. The odds of escaping a bases-loaded, no-out jam are slim to begin with. But Chapman faced an extraordinary challenge when noted playoff performer Giancarlo Stanton came to the plate with the chance to flip the game upside down. It was in that moment that Chapman looked like someone who wasn't intimidated by the spotlight. Chapman blew two pitches past Stanton and set him down for the first out, which brought up another power threat in pinch hitter Jazz Chisholm. Chisholm fouled off a couple of pitches but flew out for the second out. Paul Goldschmidt thought about tagging up to try to score the second run, but the 38-year-old held once Willier Abreu caught the ball. Chapman started 2-0-1 against Trent Grisham, only to get an easy called strike on the fourth pitch and blow a high and inside pitch by the Yankees' surprise slugger to finish the job. The Yankees made the wrong kind of history, becoming the first team in postseason history to load the bases with no one out in the bottom of the ninth, but lose after not scoring. There was a time when no lead was safe with Chapman, whose status as a power pitcher was often overshadowed by his control issues, but he was very much in control on Tuesday, even after getting hit around to start the ninth inning. Chapman might have saved the Red Sox season, ensuring they didn't waste Garrett Crochet's excellent start and pushing his former team to the brink of elimination. Billy Hyann has a story in Seattle. Mariners legend Ichiro Suzuki is taking the field with Seattle playoff run on deck. Ichiro Suzuki went into the National Baseball Hall of Fame this summer. This week, he's going to be stepping back into his Seattle Mariners uniform. The Mariners are in an odd and relatively new spot. The expanded MLB playoffs mean that the numbers 1 and 2 seeds in each league get byes into the division series. That's great in the sense that they don't have to win any wildcard games to advance, but it creates a weird layoff that doesn't normally exist on the baseball calendar. So the Mariners are scrimmaging this week, and Ichiro is expected to play. Sounds like Ichiro Suzuki might play some right field in today's scrimmage here at T-Mobile Park ahead of the ALDS, but he's not expected to bat, wrote MLB.com's Daniel Kramer on X. The 51-year-old Ichiro is still on the Mariners' payroll, and he serves as a mentor to many of the Seattle players. He still works out like a guy who is in the middle of his playing career. He's often out on the field before games in full uniform. There isn't anyone else like Ichiro. It's cool to hear that he'll be stepping back onto the diamond in any capacity, and if anyone has a camera, hopefully they start recording when the ball is hit to Suzuki in the outfield. He always had one of the best arms on the planet and was lightning quick, too. Even at 51, Ichiro is probably an outfielder you don't want to run on. Jake Mozarski has a story. Why did Aaron Boone pull Max Fried? Yankees manager catches heat after bullpen blows lead versus Red Sox. In the New York Yankees' first game of the 2025 postseason, star pitcher Max Fried delivered a gem. Fried pitched 6 1/3 scoreless innings, allowing only 4 hits and striking out 6. But in the 6th inning, Fried was pulled by manager Aaron Boone, and the Yankees' bullpen proceeded to blow the game. After leading 1-0 on an Anthony Volpe home run, the Yankees allowed 2 runs in the top of the 7th inning to fall into a 2-1 hole. Luke Weaver allowed 2 earned runs off a Masataka Yoshida single, and New York was never able to get the lead back. The Red Sox closed out a 3-1 win after escaping a bases-loaded, no-out jam in the bottom of the 9th inning. Boone has been questioned with some managerial decisions in the past, and once again, he's under some heat for taking his star pitcher out of the game. Here's why the manager made the choice to take out Fried. There are a few possible reasons to why Fried was pulled, but the main one is his pitch count. Fried threw 102 pitches in 6 1/3 innings before being pulled. New York was going to need a fresh arm sooner rather than later, and with the bottom of the lineup coming up, Boone thought it was a perfect time for Weaver to come in, especially given his 2024 postseason heroics. Weaver failed to get an out, giving up a hit and a run before Yoshida hit the go-ahead single. Freed's pitch count was high not only because of the three walks he had, including two to Carlos Narvaez, but there were plenty of times during the game where he had to work from behind in the count. In the outs he produced, there were times when he threw a lot of pitches to a singular batter. Moreover, if the Yankees envision a long postseason run, they're going to need Freed. Boone opted to play it safe here, hoping there's another time he can use his ace. The Yankees made multiple bullpen moves at the 2025 deadline, and it was setting up for those players to come in and close the door. But Weaver gave the Red Sox a lead before recording an out. Though with the Yankees down 2-1 just minutes later, that decision might have backfired. Freed said in his postgame presser that he did exert a lot of energy, but was willing to pitch more if the team needed him to. He went on to say he felt good until Boone took the ball from him. When asked about it, Boone said he felt that New York was lined up after Freed got Duran to open the seventh. Boone said that Boston pressured Freed in the previous few innings as his pitch count continued to build. In his first year with the Yankees, Freed led the MLB in wins, and in the first game of the wild card round, he did enough to put the Yankees in position. Prior to the 2025 MLB postseason, Freed's career playoff statistics presented a jarring contrast to his elite regular season performance. Across 20 career playoff appearances, including 12 starts, Freed entered the 2025 postseason with an unflattering combined record of 2-5 in a 5.10 ERA. In total, he had allowed 40 earned runs and 10 home runs over 67 career postseason innings. Though the pitcher bounced back in Game 1 and delivered a gem in his first Yankees postseason start, it wasn't enough. Hunter Cookston has a story titled, Dodgers World Series Nightmare Scenario Already Emerging in Postseason Debut versus Reds. The L.A. Dodgers jumped out to a lead against the Cincinnati Reds in the very first at-bat. For most of the game, it looked like the Dodgers were in total control. However, one recurring issue reappeared, the bullpen's inability to hold a lead. This has been a major problem for quite some time. What happened was the Dodgers' belief in the recovering health of their bullpen. And, unless you want to bring Bobby Miller up from Oklahoma City to close games, not a bad idea, eh? It's not getting fixed anytime soon, Los Angeles Times' Bill Plaschke wrote. The bullpen has been plagued by multiple injuries, and more bad news came with the confirmation that Brustar Graterol won't pitch this season. Graterol underwent surgery after the World Series to repair the labrum in his right shoulder. It's a major procedure with a long timetable for recovery, and Graterol was not expected to pitch this year before the All-Star break. Unsurprisingly, the Dodgers placed Graterol on the injured list in March. Although Graterol had reported to the Dodgers' Camelback Ranch complex in Arizona to begin his rehab, manager Dave Roberts said Wednesday the pitcher has not been cleared to begin a throwing program. Now, Roberts says, it appears unlikely Graterol will have enough time to pitch in 2025, SI's J.P. Hornstra reported. With multiple concerns surrounding the bullpen heading into October, it didn't take long for those worries to flare up once again. This is why the Dodgers face an uphill battle to win the World Series. Alex Vesia and Edgardo Henriquez were two of LA's best relievers this year and couldn't comfortably protect an 8-run lead. The starters literally have to carry this team through October, including in relief, Dodgers Nation's Noah Camras wrote. This is already a potentially disastrous sign for the Dodgers. They may be able to get past the Reds playing like this, but it won't work in the later rounds of the playoffs. If the Dodgers don't figure out their bullpen problems quickly, a back-to-back World Series championship run won't be happening this October. Billy Hyen writes about how the The Cubs' Seiya Suzuki outdoes Mike Schmidt to make a new kind of MLB history. Seiya Suzuki is an absolute tear. He's so hot, in fact, that he accomplished something for the Chicago Cubs on Tuesday that no player has ever done in MLB history. Here's the context. Suzuki homered in his last four games of the regular season. Only three other times has a player entered the postseason on a four-game home run streak, according to MLB Network's Sarah Langs. Mike Schmidt in 1980, George Brett in 1985, and Ryan Howard in 2007. None of that trio homered in their first postseason game to continue the streak. Suzuki homered on Tuesday in the Cubs' 3-1 win over the San Diego Padres. So he's the first player to ever take a four-game homer streak into the playoffs and then homer in his first game of that postseason. Suzuki's homer was crucial. It was the first of back-to-back blasts with Carson Kelly that sent Chicago on its way to a 3-1 win. The star outfielder was amazing in the first half of the season, but then he was very cold for most of the second half. But Suzuki has picked a great time to heat up again, and it gives the Cubs a chance to move on with one more win over the Padres. Here's another story by Billy Hyen, writing, Red Sox star Alex Bregman is eighth player in MLB history to join exclusive Century Club. Alex Bregman made a bit of history just by taking the field for the Boston Red Sox on Tuesday night in Yankee Stadium. The start at third base marked his 100th career postseason game. He's the eighth player in MLB history to reach 100 postseason games played. The full list via MLB Network's Sarah Langs. Derek Jeter with 158. Jorge Posada at 125. Bernie Williams, 121. David Justice, 112. Manny Ramirez, 111. Jose Altuve, 105. Yadier Molina, 104. And now Alex Bregman with 100. Of course, the older versions of the postseason didn't have as many rounds. That's why it's all relatively recent players to populate this list. It's still a cool club for Bregman to be a part of, though. He got the first 99 of those appearances with the Houston Astros, and Tuesday marked his first postseason game with Boston. The Red Sox will be hoping there's at least a few more. They'd love to advance past their huge rival New York Yankees and get a chance at the Toronto Blue Jays in the ALDS. Bregman will have to play a key part in that. Here's a story by T.J. French. Albert Pujols emerges as leading contender for vacant MLB manager job. There are now five MLB clubs that are in search of a new manager for the 2026 season. Bob Melvin was fired by the San Francisco Giants. Bruce Bochy and the Texas Rangers decided to part ways. The Twins dismissed Rocco Baldelli. And Brian Snitker announced today that he will step into a senior advisor role with the Atlanta Braves. It was also announced that the L.A. Angels' previous manager, Ron Washington, is not expected back with the team. The same goes for the Angels' interim manager, Ray Montgomery. Since that announcement, there has been a recent update on who might be the front-runner to take the Halos' manager position. According to a few different sources, Angels legend Albert Pujols is believed to be Art Moreno's top choice as the next manager for his team in Anaheim. While Pujols has no actual managing experience, he is set to be the Dominican Republic's manager for the 2026 World Baseball Classic. Moreno and the rest of the Angels ownership group are likely going to want to find a solution way before then. Would Pujols be the best player-turned-manager in baseball history? There have been a lot of great MLB players turned managers for clubs they've either played with or have a personal connection with, but none have the accolades of Pujols. Some of the other potential candidates for the Angels' open position are Torii Hunter and Michael Young. Pujols has been pretty adamant about the idea of managing, and this could be one of the biggest storylines to follow this MLB offseason. Daniel Chavkin has a story about the New York Yankees facial hair policy. Yankees facial hair policy explained. History of George Steinbrenner's beard rules from 1976 to 2025 abolishment. The New York Yankees are one of the most storied franchises in sports, but for 50 years they were known for one policy in particular. The Yankees facial hair policy was the longest standing of its kind in sports, as owner George Steinbrenner was adamant about players shaving their beards and cutting their hair. Even when Steinbrenner died in 2010, New York kept the policy until deciding to amend it in 2025. While the policy was in place, it forced some players to completely change their look upon arriving to the organization. It also led to a few disputes between Yankees players who wanted to keep their facial hair and management. Here's a full story of the Yankees facial hair policy. In February of 2025, Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner announced that he was changing the Yankees facial hair policy to allow beards for the first time since the 1970s. "We will be amending our expectations to allow our players and uniformed personnel to have well-groomed beards moving forward," Steinbrenner said in a statement. "It is the appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy." Steinbrenner referenced how more players now view having facial hair as part of their persona, and that there was a concern that some players wouldn't play for the team under the previous rule. "While Yankees are now allowed to wear beards, they still must keep the hair on their heads cut above the collar." George Steinbrenner first instituted the Yankees facial hair policy in 1976. That policy lasted for 49 years until George's son, Hal, lifted it before the 2025 season. New York's facial hair policy first began in 1976, 3 years after he bought the team. While George Steinbrenner asked players to cut their hair and shave their beards during his first season as owner, the policy wasn't official until 3 years later. George Steinbrenner, who served in the Air Force when he was younger, believed that the ban on facial hair would help produce order and discipline within the team. "I have nothing against long hair per se," George Steinbrenner said at the time, according to the New York Times via the Associated Press, "but I'm trying to instill certain sense of order and discipline in the ball club, because I think discipline is important in an athlete." In 2025, Hal Steinbrenner altered the team's facial hair policy to allow players to grow, quote, well-groomed beards. So while players can now wear beards while on the Yankees, they still can't grow either their hair or their beards too long. In 1973, George Steinbrenner buys the Yankees and begins to ask players to shave their beards. 1976, the Yankees officially make it a policy to ban players from wearing beards and long hair. 2025, the Yankees amend their policy to allow, quote, well-groomed, unquote, beards. Notable players who had to shave for the Yankees. The first big-name player who had to shave upon arriving to the Yankees was Reggie Jackson, who played for the team from 1977 to 1981. Arguably, the most notable player who had to shave for the Yankees was Johnny Damon, the outfielder who signed with New York after playing for the rival Boston Red Sox, had a big beard with long hair in Boston, but was clean-shaven with New York. Damon, however, had no issues shaving his beard and cutting his hair. Another former Red Sox player who joined the Yankees was Kevin Youkilis, who joined New York in the 2013 season. While Youkilis only played a handful of games with New York, he did so without his own signature beard. In 2018, the Yankees acquired Andrew McCutchen off of waivers, which meant the outfielder had to shave his beard. After leaving the Yankees, McCutchen was outspoken about how much he disagreed with the team's hair policy. Most recently, Gerrit Cole had to shave his beard and cut his hair when he signed a 9-year deal with the Yankees in 2019. There have been a few instances when a player challenged the Yankees on their beard policy. In 1983, when closer Goose Gossage was told to shave his beard, he left a unique mustache that became his signature look. In 1991, the Yankees benched star first baseman and captain Don Mattingly because he was letting his hair grow too long. After 2 days, Mattingly cut his hair and auctioned it off to charity. Most recently, in 2024, the Yankees traded for reliever Devin Williams, who had sported a beard for his entire career prior. Williams shaved his beard, but his resistance to do so likely spurred the organization's change in policy. There have been times in MLB history where other teams also banned facial hair. The Cincinnati Reds forced their players to shave until 1999, when new outfielder Greg Vaughn defied the policy by refusing to shave his goatee. As a result, Cincinnati dropped its policy. The Miami Marlins briefly instituted a facial hair policy a few times in their history, last being in 2016, before dropping it a year later. Now that the Yankees allow facial hair, there are no other major league teams with active facial hair policies. We've come to the end of our program. I've been reading from the Sporting News. I'm Alan Lai, and this has been a production of Sight Into Sound Radio, Houston, Texas.